So should we go? Why Mara is more important than you think.
Why
is Mara more important than you think? When we read the Parsha, so there's so much excitement, and then all of a sudden, oh, you can't drink the water, some goes in the water, water's all sweet. All right, very good.
That's right, it's chasing us, why you leave us?
Yeah, it's like a couple of lines, you know, and there's something about a bunch of trees, you know, and then it's like, oh, man, oh, okay, man, you know. So it gets glanced over like it's not anything of great significance, and I think our gut reaction is to say, okay, there were a lot of nisyonos for Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. This was, a nisayon or something like that. But you have to take a step back, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu just took them out of Mitzrayim, didn't get the Torah yet, and now there's some kind of nisayon. Like, what's that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given them water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made sure that they had, I don't know, a river that flowed wherever they needed to. Like, and he did, eventually.
Maybe they need to earn something.
So, but that's what I'm trying to say. See, you have to say something. There's something going on here that must be significant. So we'll start like this. First, let's ask a bunch of questions on this section of the Parsha itself. Some of them we'll get to, some of them we won't. You could. Again, we won't necessarily answer them. But we'll ask a bunch of questions just to open our minds. And then we'll dig in a little bit.
Bring it back up on the chat.
So I'm not
you're not a fan of Nisyonos in general?
Of course not.
But okay, fine.
Who is? Somebody here a fan of
Nisyonos? Well, you don't ask for them, but you grow from them.
Right. But there's a fair question. They just went through so many years of slavery.
Right.
Was it really necessary?
Like, right, good.
Cut them a little slack.
Good. So we'll discuss that. What exactly was the point over here? Why are we doing this now? Good. So a bunch of questions on the section itself. Number one, well, let's go to the psukim first. The pasuk says it's on the sheet if you want to follow along. Vayasa Moshe es Yisrael miyam suf. And Moshe Rabbeinu made them travel from the Yam Suf right away. Even in English, that's a little funny. He made them travel. I mean, what does that mean? Vayetzel midbar shur. They went to midbar shur. Is that what it usually says? We'll get to the questions in a minute. But I'll just read through. 3 days, they didn't find any water. So they came to a place called Mara. They couldn't drink the water there because it was mar. It was bitter. And that's why it got its name. They complained on Moshe saying, what are we going to drink? I guess he cried out to Hashem, I guess. Hashem, very difficult word. So we'll talk about that. Showed him maybe a stick or a tree, and he threw it into the water. And the water got sweet because of it. There he placed to Hashem, Moshe, someone placed for them, judgment, laws, and tested them, I guess. And then he said, again, who's this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't say. If you will surely listen to the voice of Hashem, your Lord, and you do what is yashar in his eyes, and you listen to his mitzvah, and you listen to all of his chukim, all of the sicknesses, illnesses that I placed in Egypt, I'm not going to place on you, because I am God, your doctor. And that's what doctors do. They give vaccines so that you don't get sick. So here's a bunch of questions.
Don't bring politics into your shoes.
Who said anything about politics? This says the pasuk Rofecha, no? And it's before there's anything wrong, so it has to be a vaccine. Why doesn't it say, as it would typically say, Vayisa Yisrael? Right? They traveled.
They traveled.
They traveled from the Yam Suf to wherever they're going. It says, what does it say? Vayasa Moshe es Yisrael. Right away, he's dragging them away, right?
Because they were busy dancing. And
they were busy with something. The question is what? Right.
They were dancing. Oh, we just finished.
Oh, they were at the
house. Yeah.
They were collecting all the coal.
Oh, so okay. We'll see a different approach. Okay. But that's one question. Another question. It says, "Velo matzu mayim." They didn't find water. How would we have said that? And they didn't have any water. Were they looking for water?
Well, they're walking the desert. So isn't that like...
Yeah,
and it's obvious, right? Maybe it's obvious.
That's so what? Weird. Like,
eventually they could run out of water.
They brought
they
ran out of water.
I would think that they would have brought some with them.
So I didn't remember to put this in, but if anyone remembers this at the end when we're done, if you can remind me this language of matzah mayim, I think is of great significance, but I forgot to put it in.
Matzah, like found water?
Yeah. Matzahin. 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 I don't think we're really looking. Anyway, that's a little funny thing to say. Okay. Maybe that's related as well. And then it's okay. Next question. Why is Vayiloinu in plural, Vayitzak in the singular? So we would all say, because they complained. It was Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that was davening, right? If it refers only to Moshe Rabbeinu, then why does the Torah say, Sham Sam Loi Chalku Mishpat? The Nisayon is only for Moshe Rabbeinu? Well, right? If it's in the sermon plural. Anyway, so there's a linguistic issue going on in this pasuk. I'll just tell you now, there's a Rabbeinu Bechai that we're not going to talk about. Rabbeinu Bechai answers this al derech HaKabbalah that it's talking about the Satan. And Klal Yisrael had a Nisayon, but Akarish was doing something else with the Satan to get him out of the way. If you want to take a look at Rabbeinu Bechai over here. Happy Kabbalah. Whoa, okay. We're not going to get to that. Next. Shouldn't it say, V'hera'ah oso? That's how you say show someone, right? Hera'ah. Even Hashem showed him. It doesn't say, it's V'yarehu. V'yarehu is Lashon Hera'ah.
Like
Torah, Hira'ah, to show, to teach, to demonstrate.
Tree is Torah, branch tree, I don't know.
Okay, sounds midrashic, but we'll get there too. But that is interesting. That's, of course, where Rashi's coming from, Chazal come when they say that. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything he wants, right? He doesn't really need, like, magician's sticks, right? He doesn't need one of those. So what do you need a stick for? Right? Just let them daven and let it get sweet because they davened. Moshe Rabbeinu needs to like wave his hand or something. wave your hand. Like what's the cinnamon stick over here? And it wasn't cinnamon.
Now you have scotcha.
What?
Now you have scotcha after...
Well, you know, that's the, if you want to say this and wave his hand, there's always waving hands. Realize, so is there significance to that? Is there not? Okay.
Many parts.
That's what I was just saying.
But why couldn't it be his stick then? What's wrong with his stick? No, all of a sudden his stick's no good anymore.
No, he would have used his stick.
He would have lost it.
He lost it, right? Tossing it in the water.
Stir it.
Oh, just to stir it. how much sugar do you want to put in?
You know. I mean, something's going on with his stick. You have to say something's going on because you don't have to do it that way. Lots of ways to do it. Something's going on with his stick. What is this mysterious chayku mishpat? He gave them chayku mishpat there. What is that? No, so I think we're used to certain things already, so I want to take a step back. Let's rethink this through. If you read this parasha on your own, I think we would all conclude that when the pasuk says, they sweetened the water, sham sam lechok u'mishpat v'sham niso, and there, he, let's just say, assume it's a kaddish baruch hu, he gave them chok and mishpat and nisayon. Meaning in addition to everything that just happened? Because if it's in addition, we would all ask, what was it?
You do know what it was.
It doesn't say.
Sure, we completely mean the chayk.
It says he gave them chok and mishpat. Good. What were they? Doesn't say. So we're not supposed to know? Or is it what just happened was chok and mishpat? Happened created for them chok and mishpat. And nisayon, that's what we would say, right? We would say that what just happened was the nisayon. Was what just happened also the chok and mishpat?
Because they were complaining, right? That. I'm saying that was...
So I'm just pointing out that it doesn't say what it is. We have all these assumptions because we've learned Rashi and we've learned this and we've learned that. So we come with all of this baggage. But it's interesting when you take a look at the pasuk. It doesn't say. Like, why doesn't it say? Why does it have to be so mysterious? So maybe the pasuk pshat is that it means what they just learned, the lesson they just learned. Maybe that's all.
Why does Hashem always got maybe it's not a lesson? Why can't you
because the Kaddish Baruch Hu is an entertainer. We're here for a reason.
Aren't you always trying to teach your children lessons?
Sometimes they'd say, "Stop riding me, leave me alone, back off," and I'm like, "Okay, I get it. You know, give me a little breathing room."
It is very interesting. This last pasuk over here, "Vayomrim Shamoya Tishma al Kol Hashem Aleikecha." It doesn't say who's speaking. It doesn't say "Vayomer Hashem Moshe Daber." It doesn't say. It's just like he said. Is it Moshe? Is it Hashem? Does it not matter? And finally, what was the purpose of all of this? Was it a test? Was it a nisayon? Was it not? Was it for Bnei Yisrael? Was it for Moshe Rabbeinu? Did they pass it? Okay. So let's start with the basics. The context of all of this...
Stop playing with your food.
Pass the wasabi. The context of all of this is a very interesting time in our history. And this, I think, what Adam was pointing out, or whoever was pointing this out, that we just left Mitzrayim. We didn't get the Torah yet. We're certainly not in Eretz Yisrael. And we just finished getting rid of the Mitzrayim. Right? So if you could pinpoint the time that's a new beginning... This is it, right? because we just finished the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah are dead. They saw them die. They saw their mass. And now
they
what?
They all became the pin. They all got out of that level of the tomorrow.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to point out is that this is the brick, right?
I'm giving you ammo.
Ammo. So this is mamish. So it's very interesting.
Right, but you also fool them into thinking that they're there. That's it. This is as good as it's going to get.
Perhaps.
No, but that's the problem, right? Because yes, they're not there to show.
They didn't have the Torah yet.
So they didn't get Torah. They're not married still, right? So it might be the end of the saga or the beginning, right? But it's not the end of the journey, right? They went down to Mitzrayim to be able to get to be able to get the Torah. They didn't get there.
Right. So where we are now is a very delicate time. It depends, I guess, on how you want to look at it. But one series is over. Yeah. We're starting something new. That's for sure.
If we're going according to Dayenu, you're fine. But if you want to finish the story, it's not the end.
Of course not. So what I would want to say is that we've just finished the birth of Klal Yisrael, but we have not reached the maturity or adulthood of Klal Yisrael.
We have to get out of the
world.
How do you get
the Zoyimash to come out of
the birth means that it's like a cotton, right? You have a baby, and when he becomes an adult, he's mitzvah. He's not mitzvah yet. So you have this fascinating period. And I want to look at it on three levels. As individuals, as a nation, and as a religion. And all three levels, you have this katan. He's born. He's a new person. He's not a slave anymore in Mitzrayim. We've got Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael. But there are no Torah yet.
It's
So we're at a very interesting time. It's before mitzvahs, it's before adulthood, so it's this in-between time.
That makes sense. I like that. That's a good shot.
Reborn. Yeah. Water reborn, huh? You like that?
Yep. Well, Paul says by the time we got to not just him, by the time we got to Har Sinai, all the Zion was out of us. So
Okay. So let's go through some stuff over here. See how much we can get through. Rashi. Rashi says why? We'll just go through quickly. Adam already pointed this out. The Rashi writes that they were busy with the gold and the silver and the jewels because they used to decorate their horses. Yeah, so Moshe Rabbeinu is kind of removing them from that.
We do that as adults.
You know, it's what they did was expected. What they did was understandable. But at the end of the day, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was like, Chevra, enough gashmis. Yeah, we got stuff to do. Enough. You know, no, he's not saying leave it there. You know, they took it. But like, there comes a time when, you know, you gotta move on. It doesn't say they were punished for this. It doesn't say they did anything wrong.
It was really required based on what the Bnei Olam told them.
That's really interesting, right? Because isn't that the reason they had to get all this stuff from the Mitzvah?
Yeah.
So this was luxury. This is above and beyond, no?
Yeah, that was...
Well, oh, maybe that's part of it.
That's exactly the point.
First of all...
They're going to leave with great
first of all,
wealth.
The Jews wanted to leave even without collecting anything.
Right.
Midrash says, it's like telling a person in prison, you can leave tomorrow very wealthy. They say, I happen to leave today. I don't care about tomorrow.
Right.
And then there's the same thing. The Jews, they didn't care about tomorrow with wealth. They wanted to leave immediately. And Hashem said, no. I promised Abraham we're going to leave with great wealth.
Right.
You have to wait. But the Yom Suf.
Right. It's new. It's different. It's extra, right? It's
additional. What's the word? Yeah, what?
So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, you took. It's okay. Fine. But it's time to go. So he had to pull them away. He had to pull them away.
At that point, they were headed to Canada to destroy, right?
Well, they were supposed to go to get Har Sinai. They were supposed to get the Torah, and then Eretz Yisrael. Shalosh Yomim and Lavoi Es Hashem. Okay, so here's...
Did they know that they were going to Har Sinai?
I don't know how much they knew, but they knew they were going to serve Hashem.
Which, by the way, you can also say it's Hashem's fault that it was Hashem's.
Yes. That's also mentioned over here, that perhaps that was one of the reasons why Shemina felt he had to draw them away, because after all, it led to some pretty bad stuff.
What did you say?
The Dizahav. Yeah, die. They had enough gold. It was with the fault of the gold. Okay.
Maybe that's part of the Messiah again. Right? Yeah. They had to have the Messiah, and that was the last Messiah.
All right, but we didn't get the Mara yet. This is already leaving the Yamsa. So, okay, so that's number one, is that that's the context. Number two, the critical element of trust. Now, trust... Well, bitachon. But trust has different levels and layers to it. So the first thing first, Rabbeinu Bachaya writes, if you want to take a look inside, midbar kvar yiskarti lemala. Here is a rule. Adam's not going to like it. Rabbeinu Bachaya writes, his haktama, he says it again here, kol pa'ula mi pa'ulas ha-midbar. Everything that happened in the midbar. I had Nisayon Gamur. It was a test. Now, it's not even a test to see, but it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our personal trainer. And he had to train Klal Yisrael for the next step. Everything, all the experiences were in Nisayonos. Again, Nisayonos doesn't mean to test you. Do you know the information? Nisayon means to grow and to get on the right track. So what's going on over here? It's unbelievable. He's like, can you imagine? You have to like imagine this, and none of us want to imagine this. You're with your family, you're with your wife, you're with your children, you're in a desert, and there's no water.
Kids, stop complaining.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it starts off like funny, and then a minute later you're like, but this is a sakanas nefashis. What is going to happen here? Like, what's going to happen? So he writes in an unbelievable language. They're with their wives and their children, and they were without water for 3 days. And it was the spring. It wasn't cold. It was wintertime. Ein ba'olam nisayon kaze. Yeah? You can feel it. If you're a fire, you can feel it. Yeah? You can feel it. So anyway, but he says, so then they came to Mara, and Chazal even said that it started off sweet and became bitter. It's like unbelievable. So finally there's water. Because we're brought us to water. Okay, we're good to go.
That river was first sweet, and then
it became bitter for this purpose, so that they wouldn't have anything to drink. It was like the whole thing was in Nisayon. Okay, whether it's a medrash, whether it's true or not, the pasuk doesn't say that. And according to Rabbeinu Bachaye, what he's saying now, and when he threw something that in and of itself was bitter, was not a cinnamon stick. When he threw something itself was bitter into the water.
Kindness.
No, it's okay. One of the alternate hadas species.
It was critical at this point to start to instill Midas Abitachon. Okay, Ratza Le Hamtikum Bedevar Mar, Nes Pesach Nes. There was a very important lesson here. Number one, of course, the obvious lesson is to trust the Kaddish Baruch Hu. But more than that, and we're going to go into this again in 3D, in layers, that the lesson here, according to Chazal, was that what went in to sweeten it was bitter. So there's a nace within a nace, because it shouldn't have sweetened it. Sweetening it all is istam as a nace. But that something that makes something bitter should sweeten, that's a nace pesoch nace. There's a message behind that that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving to Klal Yisrael. They're supposed to appreciate bitachon. It can even be something that doesn't make any sense. It could be bitter, and it can sweeten.
Like Rodicanamidosa with the vinegar and the
but
fire.
This is worse. It's like the disaster. It's like something that is bitter in and of its essence can become sweet. But if you heard the ship story, the submarine, that's I was wondering whoever was there.
Well, when you travel for 4 days and the thing is in your suitcase, it's the best food you ever had.
Yeah. And like, come on, really?
Okay. That's
so I think it's a great chizuk here for all of us because people say this all the time. I was trying, I was on the right track. Like, here I'm doing everything right, and then like, come on, come on, you know. So there's a lesson in that. There's a lesson that we have to always be growing. Okay. In any case,
I'm just curious though. When you're really that thirsty, what did Hashem want to place?
What?
One thing that comes wrong. It tastes good, even though it came there. There was no because you actually.
He wanted them to feel the Nisayon, and then he wanted the Nisayon to be solved and resolved. According to this, just a solution.
How are they trained though? That did they were never trained to know that.
No, now that's why there's no criticism. Rashi doesn't say that they were punished for it. You know, forget that. You know, here. Were they punished? No. Aye, but they complained. They didn't. That's the lesson. The lesson is when you have problems, what do? So we complain because like, well, I don't know, what are we gonna do? No, look, what's gonna happen? Moshe Rabbeinu is gonna speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's gonna take care of it. Trust Moshe Rabbeinu. A, B, so that they should start learning. And B, Kadosh Baruch Hu can take care of it. And with something bitter, even with something bitter, can make something sweet.
It wasn't Moshe that they didn't trust. They didn't trust Hashem. Because it says, by Yom Suf, they started to trust Moshe and Hashem. Right?
Yeah. But it's a process.
Right. The Amin of Hashem.
Yeah.
Right. But then right after.
But they still didn't have full emun in Moshe Rabbeinu because it says again that the purpose of our Sinai is to get them to believe in Moshe.
So our Sinai was it the year after?
After. Yeah. So take a look.
Think,
yeah.
If Hashem would have made it like a little chilled out that first year, our Sinai and afterwards would have been so much different.
They wouldn't have been ready. They wouldn't have been ready for Kabbalah Satara. They wouldn't
first
have been ready.
Year of
You'll see their lessons and incredible lessons in this. Anyway, so take a look. Ben Rechai fleshes this out a little bit later. Just the underlying part he writes. Afa pi. Maybe they knew what the plants did, or who knows what. Even if you know what the medicine does, even if you know, the point is that none of that matters. It's all up to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Whatever the medicine does, you think you can figure it out, I think you know everything. You have to daven, you have to approach a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and he'll take care of it no matter what the medicine is. So that lessons of Bitachon over here. With this, we can.
You're basically saying a lesson on Mishtadlis, right? You do your. So you take your pill.
There is an element of Mishtadlis here.
It's like a vaccine.
There is an element of Mishtadlis. The Mishtadlis here is absurd. It's an absurd Mishtadlis because it's bitter, but nonetheless, it was something. And then Rabbi Rechai writes, you can understand the connection between this and what happens later on in the Pasuk of the. Listening to the Kol Hashem Aleikecha. He says like this. In the next pasuk, im shamoya tishma la koil Hashem alekecha derech apshat, yom im tekayem es haTorah leitechalel la'olam. If you fulfill Torah, you don't have to worry about being sick. Mashum choili, why not? What's going on over here? Mashah hizki la koil Hashem alekecha, because if you listen to the voice of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, hakavana vazeh al aseres hadibreks, that all of this was to prepare them for the kol that they're gonna hear. When you learn the lesson now of what's going on over here, the teva is what it is. But the Kol Hashem is what makes all the difference in the world. That enables them to listen to the Kol Hashem. Because you see that that's what really matters in the world. So this was a preparation for our Sinai in that sense, which I think is a very beautiful and powerful idea. Okay, but moving on. Yeah. Just FYI, just very quickly. So you see, I underline this part that says, Rabbeinu Chananel, that it's not necessarily true that they went 3 days without water. He's medayik from the lashon v'yochel shleishes yamim b'midbar hayad derech. The derech was shleishes yamim. Not that they didn't have water for 3 days, but the derech was 3 days without water. So maybe they traveled for the amount of time. It should have taken them 3 days, but really only took one. So there is an approach to say that they actually didn't suffer for 3 days without water.
They went 3 days without cup. They weren't able to reap. According
to Pashup Shat, they had 3 days without water.
No. According to Pashup Shat, they went 3 days. The derech had no water, right? Meaning they
that's Rabbeinu Chananel's chiddush. Yeah.
They slept 3 days full.
Are you saying basically they have to derech?
Yeah.
So I'm saying that I don't think that's. I think what he's saying is they had a flask with them from the Yamsa. They went. They had water to drink.
No, we'll see that in a minute. But that's not. I don't think Rabbeinu Chananel says.
That's not what he thinks.
If your cousin Rabbeinu Chananel, Kimashen Reyecha Shlosh Yamim Bamidbar, Haya Haderech Mahalech Shleiches Yamim, Vehim Halchu Bayoim Echad. They went 1 day, 3 days. Vechisar Namayim Haya Yom Echad. But the next thing Rabbeinu Chananel says, if a Medrash Reyecha Shlosh Yamim Bamidbar Lematamayim, Mayim Shesha Avulahem Ben Gizra Yamsim Shalmim Hem, so they finished their water, their canteens. They finished what they filled up from the Yamsuf. Okay, so in other words, they did have water. They went 3 days without any water that they could find. But they had water. So according to this, they didn't actually go 3 days without water. That's terrifying.
That makes the story much less.
Yeah. And then he finally points out something. Well, just whatever, think about when we get to the end, is that the Darshei Rishumos Amru Ein Mayim Ela Torah. So this is actually a reason for halacha. That's why we don't go 3 days without Torah in Sibur.
It's tomorrow.
Yes. Oh, you mean today?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I had it like that, yeah? The Daf Yomi bonus. So, yeah. Anyway, that's all over here as well. Okay, now we're going to dig in a little bit further. So what I'm going to do now, in terms of Mayor Makomos, I don't think anybody here is going to care, but I'm just going to make my statement anyway. I'm reorganizing things in the Rishon a little bit. It's not really the right thing to do. I'm going to take the Ramban out of, reorder it, whatever. But I want to go through Pshat from top to bottom, so that's why I'm doing it. Rashi, as typical, starts off with explaining Pshat with a Medrash.
Not typical Rashi. Rashi doesn't
always.
Do
Rashi always takes Medrash and says Pshat. If he hates to say Pshat without a Medrash, he will find the Medrash that he feels answers the most questions and the most Pshat. But he starts with, so because he starts with the Medrash, the Ramban says there's a more Pashup Pshat. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with the Ramban's more Pashup Pshat and work our way deeper. So take a look. The Ramban. He says, Al derech hapshat, kashay chelu lavoi ba midbar hagadol va nerev et sima oin asher ein mayim. Some lahem mechiyasam v'tzarchem min hagem shein higubahem ad boyam al eretz neshaves. entering into the midbar. There's nothing going on over there. There's no water. How are we going to function? How are we going to survive? Shom sam lechayko mishma sham niso. Moshe Rabbeinu had to show them how to survive in a desert. If you want to see this really clearly, take a look at Rabbeinu B'chai. He fleshes it out really clearly. He says that Shom sam lechayko mishpat shalom da kadosh baruch hu chachmas atzmachim. He taught them all about the plants. He taught them which cactus to cut open and you'll find water inside. You know, like all of those things that you got to know if you're traveling in the desert. Survival skills. This was a Boy Scout. This was a survival education. So that's what he says very clearly in Rabbeinu B'chai. That's probably what the Ramban has in mind in this line as well. Chokim Mishpat then can be understood without adding anything, right? And just like you see, this stick does this. This is the beginning of our education about how to function survival-wise.
So the stick wasn't a miracle. The stick you're right. saying was just how do you...
Right. You gotta know. Now there's another way to look at it. The Ramban says another pshat. He says, Oyshe yiyasrim b'chukei hamidbar. Another way to look at it is that it was a nisayon. The chok was actually part of the test. What do you mean? Lisbal arav v'tzama, you have to survive hunger. You have to survive thirst. Likroi b'helem Hashem. L'derech tluna. You have to learn to cry out to Hashem and not simply to complain. Okay.
That's part of the Boy Scouts. You have to make sure you ask for
it. But it's a second level. It's not knowing what to do practically. It's knowing that when you're in trouble, you got to call out to the right Boy Scout leader. You know what you're doing. You got to see this. I would like to call this the national maturity training. Yeah? The national maturity. He says, if you look at his list over here, that what you need to do to function in this, like I said before, becoming a mature nation, a nation coming to adulthood, you have to learn certain things to function with each other. They've never done this before. They were a bunch of slaves. They definitely had what to do with each other, but they never had a nation of their own. So what are the lessons that you have to get used to? Let me just spell this out very clearly. Everybody wanted to know, like, Corona. Like, what did we gain from it? Are we back exactly where we started from? So I was insisting from the beginning, the only way to change is to consistently do things differently. If you get kicked out of a shul and you come back 6 months later, you're going to behave the same way you did in the shul the first time. Nothing changed. But if you start doing things differently in shul consistently, then you will continue to do them differently because you're on a different track repeatedly. That's the way to change, is by constantly doing things differently, not like, oh, something emotionally happened one time, and like, you know what I'm saying? So to be in the midbar and have to function in a certain way, that's called chinuch. Chinuch means regilos, getting used to behaving in a certain way. So one of the things he says, unbelievable. Yeah.
So in the first year, like with all these tests, so after Har Sinai, Midrash says they ran away like school children.
Right.
Right? Because they were afraid Hashem was going to give them art and mitzvahs. Right?
Okay, whatever the reasons are, yeah.
Maybe it's even from this first year. It's too many tests, too many mitzvahs, and they ran away, right? Ratzumayer. Right, they ran away from Arsina, right?
Yeah.
So I'm agreeing with everything you're saying. And what am I supposed to do? Argue with Hashem? He's Hashem. He did it and it's over.
Right.
If you look at it from a perspective of this all has a negative effect also, where even at Arsina, they're like, all right, let's just get out of here. It's too much already. Like, the year of tests.
So,
and
you know, I understand how you
didn't do the 40 years in the desert yet, and then there's all this other issue.
That was a punishment. You know, I understand how you're looking at it, but Har Sinai is definitely an exception to the rule because the experience of Har Sinai was never meant to go on. So the Tina Gobera, who is a savior, makes a lot of sense. Har Sinai was a one-time thing. Hashem wanted them to have that experience.
But if you couple it with everything you're saying now, it's like, okay, people are like, wow, this is crazy.
Right, but you don't have to say it like that.
Like,
you could say
right,
that they did gain from all of these things.
Sure.
But Har Sinai was intended to be this terrifying experience that they should talk or run away from. But Hashem wanted them to know, this is what it's like to be Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what it's like to hear Hashem. This is what it's like. So I don't know. Okay, get completely different. Anyway, but this is what the Ramban says, and I thought it was fascinating, that the lessons are Lehov Ish Esrayeu. There should be a loving of one man to his friend.
Lehov,
Ahava, Ish Esrayeu. To follow the elders. To make sure to behave in a private manner in your tent. How to do business. You gotta know if somebody comes. So you gotta do business. You gotta learn how to trade. You gotta learn how to do, you know, do business. He includes that on this list. Not to be like other people that they just have this, you know, everything's hefker. Anyway, it's a fascinating list of lessons that he thinks Klal Yisrael needs to learn as they mature as a nation. Really, really interesting. And that's the Chok and Mishpat. That's how he learns, according to this Pshat. That's the Chok and Mishpat, how to function as a young nation.
What's the
Chok? Chokar's laws and Mishpat. You have to distinguish, but there's a difference between the two, according to what he's saying. He's not so distinguishing. But yeah, very, very interesting. V'amar v'sham niso. So what's the nisayin? Lahudia ki asher halicham baderech hazeh she'en shamayim v'vim lokam hamayim hamarim l'nisayin. Okay, so it's all a test. Now the next thing he says is that what's the pshat in Vayareu? It's just said he showed him. He said it says like paskining or something. And he says, Shalom atzasi lashon mora ele be'inyan limud. Ki ha'etz hahu yamtik ha'mayim betivo v'usagula bo v'limud osalamoshe. This idea of teaching how the sticks work and how it works in the desert and what to do, that's the education. So it wasn't like he showed him a stick. He showed him the qualities of the stick. He had to teach him how it works. He had to show him. That's what it means. That's why he uses that word, according to this pshat. Okay. Moving along. Fine. Okay, let's go on. Rashi. This is our next level over here. I guess it's the last level, really. That Torah or Torah training. So listen to this. Rashi writes, and this is what we should have started with, but because it's Alderach HaMedrash, we didn't. Alderach HaMedrash, Rashi writes, what's going on? What did Moshe Rabbeinu teach them? B'mara nasin lehem miktas parshil shel Torah shis asku b'hem. In Mara, they got some Torah to be busy with. Shabbos, Paraduma, V'dinin. Yeah, everybody's familiar with this, right? So the Ramban...
I never heard about the Paraduma.
What?
I never heard that they were already learning Paraduma.
Chok. So that's where Rashi's coming from. Yeah. So the Ramban says, I don't understand. How come it doesn't say what they are? It doesn't say Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe. It just says Sham Sam Loichayku Mishpat V'Sham Niso. Like, where's the Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Daber al Bnei Yisrael and tell them part? What? Like, it's so strange. So he writes, if you're Medayik in Rashi, in this Chazal, the Rashi is quoting. It says Parsha Shel Torah She Yisasku Bahem. What's Yisasku Bahem?
Engaged.
Yeah, but not fulfill them. See, he says, that's right. It wasn't a mitzvah. It wasn't that they were given Shabbos at Mara. They were given Paraduma. It wasn't. It's not top shot. Pshat is they were taught the Torah.
Checkers.
What?
Chess checkers. Yes, it sounds like the Torah.
They were taught the Torah of it. They were taught like all the rules, all the laws.
Before
Mount Torah. Wow. He says, it's Keinu Mitzvah V'Aseh. Why? So this is so perfect for the structure I was trying to develop. This is Chinuch. You know how the Rambam begins Halachas Talmud Torah? Rambam begins Hilchos Talmud Torah, Nashim Ma'odin Ketam Peturim Talmud Torah, but Aviv for that an adult, the father Chayav L'Lamba. You have to teach them.
The alcohol wipe before the vaccine.
Well, it's more than that. It's that the way to get to Har Sinai, the way to have Kabbalah Satara, you can't have it without Limud Torah first. You have to get used to it. You have to learn it first. And so there's a Limud HaTorah before you're even Chayav in it. So there's a Yisasku, there's a Hisasku in Torah. Before they're not mitzvah yet. They're not mitzvah yet, but they have to start. It's chinuch. It's like mamish. It's like they're ketanim. This is the chinuch in Yiddishkeit. So why these three things? So you can develop a whole theory about this. What each one is, and how one is counters this. And one's a chok, one's a mishpat, and you know what I'm saying? Like this would take us a long time to talk it out.
Same
but
thing, but talking about what those levels are.
Yeah, lahargilam b'mitzvos ladas mikablo oisam b'simcha v'tuv levav. The nisayin was how they would be makabel them.
They already got some stuff beforehand. They got Rosh Chodesh and they got the carbon. At the time, yeah, it's hard. Interesting, Rosh Chodesh was a problem. They all ate Shabbos. It's true. They all had to be re-commanded at Sinai. We all ate Shabbos. So whatever it means, they were given. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so that's that.
So let's take this a step further. There are those that do get involved with all these things. So let's take a look. The Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar says, what was going on dragging them away from Yam Suf in this context, in the context of Torah? Because it could be that all of this riches is going to do lead them to sin. Why? Because if they have too much wealth, They can't be makabel the Torah. Ki haTorah haOisher Borchim Zemizeh. Veim Kitzarais Zulazu. You know, Tzara means a co-wife, right? Like
right,
Tzara.
Yeah.
So he says Oisher and Torah. That's a big challenge. Borchim Zemizeh. That's what he says. So dragging them away from Oisher was that enough already? You got to learn. You got to focus on Torah.
But some of the greatest.
No, that's a new side of
art
history.
Wow.
What?
Some of the greatest people in art history extremely wealthy, like Rabbi Yonah Nasi said.
Right.
Besides that, he didn't like partake of his wealth.
Well, but that's what's so critical, right?
He was able to just like totally.
But he put all his 10 fingers in his side. It never got Hanoah.
No. That's a separate issue. But because of his wealth,
yeah,
he could totally focus
right
in a different way.
Right.
Right. Even Moshe Rabbeinu became very wealthy.
Right. Okay, but it's a challenge. It's a big challenge. See, that's the word Rabbeinu Bachai writes. Sorry, the Kliyakar. It's all the Kliyakar. That's right. Borchum. You ready for this? Okay, so now we're on the layer now of that what's going on here actually has to do with Kabbalah Satorah. We're talking about other ways of maturity until now. We talked about just getting through the Midbar on like an individual level. We talked about on a national level what's necessary in this young age. And now we started talking about what's necessary for Klal Yisrael in Yiddishkeit. Now that they're about to be Mekabel the Torah. So now he's dragging them away. And what did they do? They hesitated. They wanted to stay. They wanted to collect the Oisher. So he says, Mida keneged Mida. Why did they go 3 days without water? Mida keneged Mida. Lefisha asku bevizas hayam yoyser meharoi. They were more than they should have. They were chasing down the riches of the Mitzrin, right? Mi'az hayu bilti ru'uyim lekabel ha'Torah shenim shel lamayim. So they were delaying, they were tarrying from where they were headed. Where were they headed? Kabbalah Satorah. Oh, what's more important to you, the riches or Kabbalah Satorah? The riches for now. Well, if that's the truth, then what situation have you just put yourself in? You've put yourself without Mayim, in Mayim el Torah. So they were stuck, it was Mida keneged Mida, it was like the Metzias they put themselves in. You put yourself in a distancing from Torah, you put yourself in a distance from Mayim. Wow, that's cool, no? Alkei nenshu, bedafka b'mashal ematzah mayim.
They were distanced from water. If they Moshe Rabbeinu pushed them away from it, right? They were by the Yamsuf.
He's trying to get them to go.
He's not getting to go to the water. He's getting to leave.
Leave to go to Har Sinai.
But
on the way to Har Sinai.
So you're saying that the Torah is not talking in Mitzvahs. It's not talking that on the journey from...
It didn't take them 3 days.
However long it took them. You're saying they really didn't on the way, they didn't... No, there was no water.
Kadosh Baruch Hu could have done anything, right? Anything could have happened. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu do this to them? Make them suffer, make them delay. Why did it have to be bedafka that they didn't have water? Why did that have to be the Nisayin right now?
Meeting.
That's what he says.
But they have no. But you can only punish somebody there.
Was the Nisayin was no water for 3 days, or was bitter water when they finally got it?
He writes Shleisha Yamim below Mayim, that they struggled without water. That's what he says. That because they had to struggle, when they found it, it's a different lesson. We'll get to that in a minute.
But why would Hashem punish them if they had no commandments?
Because, in other words, he's trying to educate them that what Torah is water.
So what you're saying is that it wasn't...
It's life. It's, you need it to survive.
Didn't
what?
We start off saying that it was an Onesh?
Yeah, that's why it's an Onesh. Alkei Nenshu B'mashal Lematzu Mayim.
Right. But you can't have an onesh if you didn't do anything wrong.
Okay.
No. In other words,
onesh means education. Onesh means education. Right?
Onesh is used for education.
Yeah, it's a method of education. So, you know what? He points out, by the way, also that Kamo Rafidim is a Kliyakar, just like in Rafidim, She'al She'rafu Yedeya Min HaTorah Ke'Nemar Gam Sham. It says also, remember the Rafidim Klal Yisrael, the Medrash, Chazal, say it means they weaken their hands from Torah. Yeah? And that's why Amalek came. It says there also, V'lei HaMayim.
Are you sure they had the same issue?
I don't know, but he points this out. Again, it was the same issue when there's a Rifion by Torah. It's expressed with a distancing from water.
But they have made it, they weren't learning. Yeah, cool. I think it's for right out in Tanakh, right? It's right out in they weren't learning, they had to stay at Hern.
I don't remember water being there.
Sure, right?
Yeah. Anyway, okay, let's finish this up. So, okay, so that's the beginning of this. And then finally, an introduction to learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs, a different kind of trust. Yeah, introduction to Kabbalah, a different kind of trust. The Kliyakar, again, so he says, they came to Mara, and now the water was bitter. They finally found the water, but now the water is bitter. What's that all about? What does that have to do with Torah? Well, last of them, Nisayim, you ruin the Kabbalah Sa Torah. Are you going to be appropriate to be Makabla Torah? Chazal say, Mashem of Yer Hashem, Eitz, Yesh Armim Shaya Zayas, Yesh Armim with Arava, Yesh Armim Hirdufni. I looked this up. Oleander.
That was the.
You know this? Oleander? Oleander apparently is poisonous. Yeah?
This was the Neymar we just had.
Yeah. So oleander and nerine are two very potent cardiac glycosides. Found in all parts of the plant. Anyway, this is very interesting. Oleander remains toxic when dry.
When what?
When dry. That's what it says on Wikipedia or wherever I looked this up. So when you put it into the water. Oh, very interesting. So some say it wasn't though. Some say Aravas. Okay, but oleander. Anyway, very interesting. So he says like this. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Dvar min haTorah Rosh HaNemar, Eitz Chayim Hi. It's perfect to use the word eitz over here. Why? It shouldn't use the word eitz, right? It should have said like a stick or like, I don't know, there are different, mateh, there are different ways to say this. And eitz is like a tree. Why does it have to use the word eitz? Because eitz chayim hi machazikim bo. So this is all about Kabbalah Sater. This is preparation for Kabbalah Sater, right? Which part? Okay. Ubir ha'inyan, sha'tera t'chilasa mara. Very important to know. The Torah, when you start to learn, is bitter. It's hard. And it even weakens a person. That the famous story of Rish Lakish. Yeah, and Riechan, right? Yeah. V'chazal amru, lamanim shal Torah l'zayas. According to one opinion, that this particular eitz was olive. Why is the Torah compared to an olive? Mazayazu t'chilasa mar v'soifay masoik. Just like an olive starts off like bitter, and then you soften it, and you can get all the sweetness out. After every Torah came. Torah works the same way. The mitzvahs gam came. Malav lahanes nitnu.
You eat too many of them, you
forget all your Torah. What depends? Everyone smells good. Okay, yeah. So olive oil is good too. All right, whatever. But the mitzvahs gam came. Malav lahanes nitnu. Mitzvahs also are not there for hanoah. It's okay. What's the lesson? The lesson is, number one, that when you approach Torah that you're about to get on Har Sinai, you should know it's going to be difficult. It's going to be bitter. That's okay. It's going to get sweet. It's going to get sweet.
So the water was bitter because it started the Torah, that's how you put it into the pan and it starts off until it gets sweet. When it starts
great. Running, beautiful, right? She says, and that's what's going on over here, that you have to be cleansed of the bad beliefs that you have, the bad behaviors that you have, all the emunos ro'i shekanu b'mitzrayim, will I hire you so believe on lamar eichi tach in the rabbis davar mar, davar mar, if they're going to say, listen, you're going to, I have issues. I'm masking my philosophical issues. I have all kinds of problems. I've been a slave and I've been believing in Avodah Zarah. But now you're going to give me the Torah that's Mar? You're going to give me the Torah that's Mar and you're going to solve my problems? Mar is not going to solve Mar, says the Kosher Vesu. You get involved in this Torah, it's going to be difficult in the beginning. But I'm telling you, that Mar is going to make it Masok. She says, was that Nasa Osam? That was the test. Will they believe that there's such a Koyach? Just like Moshe Rabbeinu can do it, the Torah can do it as well. And if you're going
to
say,
had to go to Mara first before they go to Har Sinai.
Had to.
So, the term is Mar. Is that learning in the beginning? Is it the learning is difficult? Or it's...
It's both. It's both.
It's bitter that you're realizing all the.
It's both. It's that when you start to learn, it's always hard. It's always hard. But the bitter element is that it's nobody likes to hear mussar. Nobody likes to say, you know, I need to change. Nobody wants to do things differently. That's the mark. Yeah, and beliefs and change. Change in all of its ways is bitter. But bitter isn't bad. Bitter is bitter. The Rakan told me one time, he said that, I think his father heard this from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim asked this guy one day, he was looking miserable, like, how are you doing? And he said, you know, God is being bad with me or something. He said, it's not. You can never say it's bad. You can say it's bitter.
ask all those people in the Lower East Side why they didn't keep Shabbos anymore, it's because the parents always said, Shvartz is on you, it's difficult, right. And I got that in your head. Is that?
Right. So the lesson here is that it can be difficult and it can be bitter, but if you stay at it, it will become sweet. It'll change who you are. Metziva lekachas eitz. That's why it had to be a tree. Because, oh, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu came up with a big magic trick. No, it has to be an eitz. It has to be the eitz chayim that's going to go, and that's what's going to do it. This is a natural thing. This is a thing that can happen. It's not impossible. That's how the Torah is going to work. So of course, according to this, why did it say Vayireyu instead of Vayar, that he showed him or something like that? Because it's Hayra'ah. Because all of this has to do with Torah. That's the language of Hayra'ah. But Sivala Kachas Eitz Liyais Dugma Umashal Al HaTorah Shnekras Eitz Chayim. Amad number 10, Zayas Asi Shabbos. If you hold it to Zayas, this whole thing works out very, very beautifully. It's not the only pshat. And he doesn't explain the angles on the other ones, but you could explain what it means if it's a Rava, what that might be, the meaning behind that. And then you're going to have to explain the meaning that it can even be even a Sam HaMavis. And you can even have something that's poison. But if it's done with Torah, that's the Gemara in Kiddushin. That it could be the Sam HaMavis, it could be the Sam HaChayim, depending on how you address it. I'll stay away from that, I guess.
It's poison, but if you do it right, it's a fish or something, right? If you prepare it right, the Japanese. Yeah, they have it sushi.
That's why we
deep fried
it tonight.
Exactly.
Anyway, this is unbelievable. He finds remuzim in all of these things that Rashi points out. He has a fourth one also, Kibud Av Va'Em. He finds remuzim that they were said in Mara. Where the remuzim they were said in Mara? Kasher Tzivcha Shem Aleikecha, says that Sarah said they roast both by Kibud Av Va'Em and by Shabbos. Both of them, Kasher Tzivcha Shem Aleikecha. He says, Chazal say Kasher Tzivcha B'Mara. V'dorshei Roshumois Amru, Shesoif Teva Shel Arba Tevos Elu, if you take the gematria of Ka'asher Tzivcha Yikei Vavkei Hashem Aleikecha, guess what? It's a gematria of Mara. Interesting. Ka'asher Tzivcha Hashem Aleikecha. Where? Where? Now? No, Mara. And then he says, Para and Dinim have hints as well, because when it says, Chukas HaPara Mishpatim, it says, Remez Ledavar, Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher, Ele Mishpatim Asher, is Osios Mara. And para aduma, if you're eating a mum, remezikach mem, you know, para, right? The para aduma can't have a mum, right? So para is not mara, right? It's got four. It's got 40 extra numbers. So you got to take away 40 in order to get to mara. Because the mem is the mum. Very good. And he has a whole, oh, you'll ask me about mum as a vav, and he gets out of that letter.
That's
also kliyakar. All kliyakar. And finally, he says over here, Yim Shamoya Tishma Kalim Hashem Alekecha Me'ata. Now with all of these lessons, Tekabel Alecha Lishmoya B'Kol Hashem. We said before, Har Sinai Kol Hashem. V'Lasay Sayashar Be'Inav V'Afal Pisha Torah V'Mitzvos Dinim B'Tchilasam Kashim. It's difficult and bitter. Two different points. Mikol Makom Soifam Misukim. They'll end up being sweet. Gehim Marpe LeEtzem L'Rufas Arecha. They're going to heal your bones. They're going to heal your flesh. Heal you from all of the things that I placed in Mitzrayim. Whether it's a chol of the guf or it's a chol of the nefesh. So Rabbeinu Bechaya writes, if you want to see this, it says, Ditzach adash ba'achav, right? Oile, if you take the gematria, oile chamesh miyais ve'echad, it's 501, which is the gematria of asher. Im shamoy tishma kolashem, mekola machla, asher. Samti b'mitzrayim, the asher that I put in Mitzrayim, I won't place on you. All of the makas, everything happened in Mitzrayim, Ditzach Adash Bechav. Of course, that's what we know in the Haggadah. Oh, it was 250. It was all of these, so that those won't don't hurt us. So anyway, there's even a discussion in the poskim, by the way, about what happens if you have a goy. They have to learn Torah before they convert. That's obvious. But what about keeping Shabbos? Not allowed to keep Shabbos, right? What if you had Mila, but not Tefillah? Would you be allowed to keep Shabbos? So the Avnei Nezer wants to say, others or suggest this, wait a minute, Klal Yisrael, when did they have Mila? Mitzrayim. When did they have Tefillah? Nah, Yom Tov. They didn't have Tefillah, there was no water. They didn't
get wet.
They didn't get wet. It was before Sinai. So they're in between Mila and Tefillah. So what are they doing? What was one of the mitzvahs? Like, Mara?
Torah.
Shabbos.
Oh.
Yeah?
Really?
Oh, but you're going to ask a kasha. But the Ramban says, Oiskim Batera. They're Oisig. Oh. They don't keep each other. Yeah. Hey, okay, anyway, so it's all due and it's lumpus.
So what's Pshat? Yeah, they didn't get to be
what?
So
drink.
They carry, but they don't hold by.
Yeah, so I'm saying, so there's two ways to look at this. You know, there's two ways. There's the Torah.
They had the
I saw on the photos in Ashkel that Parduma is a printing art.
Rashi says it's a chafav of kibra'av.
Oh, yeah, there's four things. It's all due and happens
in kibra'av.
Anyway, to summarize, so here at this point, what is the whole role of Mar? What's he doing over here? So it's at this time of Klai, so basically being a katan. They've been born, they're katan, they're waiting to become a gadol. What's going on over here? So you have it on a personal level, how to survive the midbar, you have it on a national level, how to engage with another, even when it comes to making money and how to deal with the foreign people that come in and, you know, selling them stuff and whatever. And then you have, as a religion, how to grow and what's necessary, what perspectives are necessary, to trust the Kaddish Baruch and the Torah, and that, and all the Mida Kinei Gemida. Anyway, I went through it so incredibly fast, but it's rich, it's rich. To everything that's here in the Rabbi Mechai and the Kli Yakar, there's so much more than I got to, but there's another.
There's Mishnah in the Mishnah Yomi.
Yeah, what was it?
One of the people who can't do Zima with is with Akum.
Yeah.
I mean, Guy. The Kati says it means that it wasn't covered yet.
Oh, there you go. So all these
everything is relevant. Everything is relevant. Everything is relevant.